Welcome to the ANews podcast. This is episode 111. This podcast covers anarchist activity, ideas, and conversations from the previous week on Anarchist News. It's designed to be useful to anarchists and the anarcho-curious. Give us feedback and constructive criticism by email at podcast@anarchistnews.org. For more information and usually some good commentary, go to the non-sectarian anarchistnews.org.
Editorial.
Consider this my pre-coherent thoughts responding to the Anarchy Bang dishwashing episode. The questions or issues that this episode raised for me were the following. One, the strengths and weaknesses of metaphor. Two, tired topics like gendered behavior that we have to keep talking about, but that we tend to get into serious ruts around. Three, romantic topics versus practical ones. Four, household tasks versus project tasks. Three and four might be the same thing. Five, taking on too much work. What is too much work? And six, the future and significance of household chores slash households themselves. I'm not going to get to all of those. I'm barely going to touch on a couple. Dishwashing is gendered, practical, not romantic. And those were the aspects that I noticed the most about the conversation on the podcast. But there were also touches of perhaps the more interesting question raised by the metaphor, which is that dishwashing involves living with other people. It involves tasks that people don't want to do but that need to get done. Although things are changing and the culture is moving ever further toward microwavable everything, and maybe soon washing dishes will be some kind of privilege check. Also, more people are living alone or with people who they don't share much with besides location, which makes the dishes question just an abrasion and not a place for creativity. At any rate, the conversation is about what can practical daily tasks teach us about how we live and get along, or don't, with other people, and, let's say, ways of living together that push various boundaries, gendered and otherwise. The SITS, talking about moving cities, was a push in that direction, but it's so far out there that it loses any contact with the here and now. Here and now, what do you do to bring anarchy into your daily life? Chore wheels came up, and for some houses, perhaps those work fantastically. They have or can have a lot of benefits, including predictability, clarity, fairness, flexibility. Chore wheels are a kind of contract, and Armand, for one, was all about contracts as a way to negotiate public life anarchistically. For me, though, contracts don't work well. Maybe because it's impractical to be clear enough that people are actually on the same page when conflicts arise, but more likely because I change my mind about what is important to me, so I'd have to redo the contracts on a weekly basis, and no one has time for that. There is the classic model of roommates divvying up chores according to what they're good at and don't mind doing. This works best if people have complementary skills and energy levels, etc. This speaks to the person whom emailed in saying that they prefer to wash dishes because they don't trust other people to do it correctly. That also raised the issue of things that can seem like stereotypical behavior, but are based on intentional choices. We could call that false cognates with gender stereotypes, although, of course, it's a bit more complicated than that. I have known so many people who had land and desperately wanted to live with other anarchists, but couldn't find anarchists to live with. Figuring out how to live with each other is a real anarchist topic, requiring problem solving that we haven't really even started. Am I alone in seeing the romance in that? What's new this week? Commercial Hub slowed down for a week following incendiary sabotage. From Act for Freedom Now. Sabotage that was reported previously, now with more details. Quote, according to our intelligence, the perpetrators tried first to access the Orange operational site with a crowbar, but they couldn't manage to do so. However, they managed to force access to a basement room, which was closed with cast iron plates. Through the opening, they threw pallets, sprayed everything with petrol, and lit a fire. The heat and flames burned the protection of the telecommunications cables, forcing operators to replace all of them. 300 meters of cables were completely burnt. Unquote. While it's easy to say that these actions don't tear down society and the state, which is obviously true, not doing these actions doesn't tear down society and the state either. Just saying.
May Day is ours. From non-anarchist, aggressively activist website Conflict Minnesota. Quote, conflict isn't a group you join, it's a tool you use, unquote. Catchy. This is not an anarchist announcement, just another call for May Day as both Worker Solidarity Day and beginning of spring celebration. Quote, do not be daunted. Surely it's easier to show up to a protest march organized for you and follow along, but it's far less fun. There is no greater feeling than acting in a way that is in every way your own. We are so used to being guided and governed by the economy that even our resistance tends to fall along the same lines. This, too, we must refuse, unquote. Okay.
Ukraine's anarchist militants from a2day.net. Brief commentary with a 23-minute video showing young men in balaclavas practicing martial arts. The video is called Popular Front, the Anarchist Underground. The commentary is opaque, apparently pulled from Russian social media. Perhaps it's intelligible to people who are in the Ukraine. The video is Vice style and does nothing to challenge the macho stereotype of Eastern Europeans.
Some of my past political mistakes from Anarchismo by Wayne Price. While Wayne is on the opposite side from me of various anarchist spectrums, I always appreciate that he engages in conversations with people in the threads on his stories, even when the person he is responding to is Kevin Keating, bad faith commenter, and non-anarchist par excellence. I also have a soft spot for humble, old farts who continue to talk about and puzzle over anarchism, while the rest of you get younger and younger and more confusing. Quote, I came to identify myself as a revolutionary anarchist who has been influenced by libertarian autonomous Marxism. Over time, I have changed my views more often than I like to admit, always trying to do better. I am not ashamed of my mistakes. My values and overall goals remain the same. Unquote. Good for you, Wayne!
Worldwide, for a subversive May 2019, from mpolothia.net, a brief call for a standout May Day and May Month, with brief references to the Scriptum Anent trial defendants. Quote, those who have decided to oppose any domination in the social conflict must live with the constant uncertainty of sooner or later being held accountable for their own actions by the opponents of freedom and self-determination. The idea and the longing for a society liberated from exploitation and oppression can then be nipped in the bud. Unquote.
Review: Orwell Among the Anarchists, from freedomnews.org.uk by Raymond S. Solomon. This is a review of a book of essays about Orwell by Vernon Richards, Colin Ward, and Nicholas Walter, published in 1998. While this review is not particularly well written, it does make the case for reading the book, as the three essayists had personal experience with Orwell, who the reviewer claims as so near an anarchist he might as well have been one. Quote, Orwell was as close to being an anarchist as one could without actually being one. Orwell's objection to anarchism was that a society run by public opinion can be as tyrannical as one based on physical force. Orwell's dear friend, George Woodcock, responded that anarchists were as opposed to societal tyranny as to physical force-based tyranny. Canadian English author George Woodcock expressed opposition to both sides during the Second World War in Anarchy or Chaos, unquote. Unfortunately, the comment section for this thread gets into an irritating back and forth about whether Orwell was a snitch or not, and one of those exchanges that makes some people want to ignore the whole mess. A statement of the times, perhaps. Anyway, I very much enjoyed Down and Out in Paris and London, which is the only thing I've read by Orwell. Perhaps I will have to read more.
Intercollective text about the anti-militarist, anti-nationalist, anti-war, anti-NATO campaign. From athensindymedia.org. A piece from some, quote, collectivities, unquote, in Greece, which is unusual in itself. While the terminology of this piece errs on the class warfare side, at least it does seem to be taking on all states and state organizations, so nothing to complain about there. Quote, lastly, we have every reason, each and every one of us, which under any condition our lives are crushed, to deny both their peace and their war, to also deny their national objectives, which are none other than the objectives of the local elite, as well as their imperial integrations, which is nothing else than the objectives of the local elite in cooperation with the major powers. We have every reason to make absolutely clear that from Alexandropoli to Larissa and from Chania to Patra, there are enough men and women who refuse to join in with the dominant accounts, who refuse to negate the flags of class struggle in front of the blue and white stripes and the star-bangled banner. We have every reason to set up bridges of international solidarity and give common struggles with the Turks, Cypriots, Bulgarians, Macedonians, Albanian proletarians. Unquote. Like the usual ignorant American, I don't pretend to know much about the interactions between Russia, the US, Turkey, Syria, Greece, etc., so it's quite possible I'm missing some nuance here. I was struck by how the commenters in this thread have opinions, but don't flesh them out for anyone who doesn't already know what they're talking about. Oh well.
Anathema, Volume 5, Issue 1, continues to be a fine example of a local project with breadth. how to respond appropriately to local legal changes, police violence, etc., as well as reviews of political material, calls for international action, solidarity actions, acknowledgments of prison escapes, and so on. I will note, however, that putting pizza on layaway is not the same as free pizza.
Network trial begins in Petersburg from the Russian Reader, quote, news and views from the other Russias, unquote. Detailed reports from Russia about the trial of so-called members of the so-called organization The Network, which is being claimed as a terrorist anarchist organization in order to persecute anarchists, apparently. Quote, Federation Council member Lyudmila Narusova, who attended the hearing, pointed out that, quote, the ability to throw grenades, unquote, which the prosecution included in the evidence against the defendants, was taught officially to members of the patriotic youth movement Unarmaya, unquote. Good thing that anarchists know that there's no such thing as a fair state, right?
Lorenzo Arcetti, The Life of an Anarchist Partisan of the 21st Century, from Abolition Media Worldwide English. Another obituary of a volunteer anarchist fighting against Daesh. Quote, Lorenzo fell martyr in Baghouz, in the province of Deir ez-Zor, a few days before that city was liberated by the Kurds. It was the last bastion of the Islamic State in Syria. Lorenzo's body was recovered and he will be buried in his beloved Florence, according to his parents. This Sunday, March 31st, there will be a demonstration in memory of Orso in his native Italy, organized by anarchists, communists, and anti-fascist organizations, unquote. Rest in peace, Orso.
A response to For an Anti-Sectarian Revolutionary Left, 10 Hypotheses, from Radical Education Department. Internal discussion in RED. Quote, I disagree with Ed's idea of an anti-sectarian left as a primary strategic goal that can help build a revolutionary struggle. Instead, I argue that the most important task ahead is helping to build up revolutionary anarchistic power rather than trying to bridge socialists, anarchists, and communists, unquote. All this is under the umbrella of creating a mass revolutionary force, however, so it's all angels and pinheads as far as I'm concerned.
Solidarity, Aotearoa Workers' Solidarity Movement Newsletter Number 19, April 2019, from the Aotearoa Workers' Solidarity Movement, a brief announcement for their new newsletter. The contents seem to be, 1. Aotearoa Workers' Solidarity Movement Mutual Aid Fund, 2. How to Spot a Conspiracy Theory, 3. Postering, and 4. O Tau Tahi, aka Christchurch Reflections. Oh, and Extinction Rebellion. I didn't get that far into it, to be honest.
J20 Zine Series from Crime Think, a collection of the things Crime Think would like to be learned from the J20 protest and the legal fallout. If you read stories on A-News, you have read these already. There are also a couple of posters.
Audio and video, Anarchy Bang, introducing episode 15, Doing the Dishes, 2 hours. Quote, this week we are going to discuss doing the dishes. The dishes are both code for the kind of responsibility we need to take in 1,000 different contexts, and the kind of gendered behavior that burns people out, makes our relationships boring, resentful, and disappointing. For some people, this is a reason to put a poster on a wall. For others, it is the reason they want to live alone. But our conversation is how do we do better? How do we frame the relationships we have and want? And how do we, as a category, do the dishes? Unquote. Last week's Anarchy Bang featured few anarchists who were willing to acknowledge that they'd ever even heard of a household chore. Of course. More to the point, the conversation didn't really get beyond the metaphor. Catchy metaphors do have a tendency to take over. This is a known known.
Anarchy Radio, April 16th, 2019, an hour. Liberal book criticized for being liberal. Some thoughts on early / not early humans. Depletion of nature preserves in quote-unquote Africa. John reads from his piece on freedom. A quiet little episode.
90% burned. But 55 hours to live.
Topic of the week, just anarchists. Not to go off on a rant, but watching thread after thread on anarchist news, treat whatever new piece of information as the foundation of a new hyphenated anarchism demonstrates a central problem to North American anarchism. As if our desire for a world without coercion, politics, meaning representation, or commodification were not niche enough, it seems further refinement is necessary, or not. But a quick trip through anarchist Twitter shows a dozen flags and a Tumblr gender number of different anarchist splinters. Does anyone really consider themselves a blue anarchist? beyond the small clique of friends who owns boats? Does hyphenation clarify as much as obfuscate the simplest of ideas, the idea of no to a sick society? But seriously, to what end endless hyphenation? Does it save time in getting to know one another? Is it just for the lulz? What possible satisfaction or utility do you get out of describing yourself as anything more than just anarchist?
You know what?
All right, Aragorn, what do you think?
What was surprising about this was how few people answered the question. I mean, I guess it's generally true in the topic of the weeks, but I don't feel like anybody said, you know, this is the utility I get out of describing myself as more than an anarchist. In other words, like, I didn't get a lot of feeling of like anarcho-communist saying, well, anarcho-communism is specifically different than what it is that you're articulating as being anarchist, and these are the three ways in which it's different. I was sort of hoping for that, just on the level of like, for me to get something productive out of these topic of the weeks, that would be the kind of responses we would get. But in general,
right.
But in general, you know, and this is a good thing, most of the responses seem to be questioning the questioner. Which is fine. Obviously I'm pro that, and perhaps that is even my, like, my brand, but sometimes that's not what I want. You know, sometimes I want to actually, like, I would say that a quarter of the conversation were people literally saying, what is blue anarchist, and not being able to answer that because they don't know how to use a search engine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree with this, and I think actually the small amount of grappling that I did see with the answer to this question was about, oh, it helps, it kind of verifying what you said in one of your final questions, which was, yeah, it helps us narrow down people who are like us, people who share, you know, an affinity with the priorities that we have. And so I thought that was interesting because basically then what they're saying is that, well, for them, it's about an identification with a particular group of people who share a particular group of priorities. And so, yeah, so that raised the question for me, which is the question that this whole thing raised overall, which was taking it even a step further, not just like what utility does one get out of identifying as one of these, you know, hyphenations of anarchism, but really, like, I wonder what utility people get from identifying as anarchists at all.
Hmm.
And I actually wonder what you think about that.
Well, I think that that's, I guess I begin, and, you know, this does date me, of course, I begin in counterculture. And so the answer to the question, why would I call myself an anarchist, is because it made sense at the time that I made that change, which was about 1990. And it made sense both as sort of like the logical piece, which we still see people grapple with online and in the context of like the anarchist FAQ or something. But it made sense in the social sense of like, there were people around that I knew were anarchists that perhaps I wanted to be friends with and who represented sort of the step beyond punk rock in this meaningful way. And so it was aspirational to begin with, but as time went on, you know, it transformed into something that like did best describe what I would think would be my political position. So it had that, it has that double thing, right? On the one hand being countercultural, and on the other hand being an actual description of what I think reality is. But in the context of this question and the question of hyphenation, you know, most people, myself included, didn't know that everyone around me sort of experienced hyphenation in this really meaningful way that I didn't, and that was, you know, and that was particularly meaningful for them. So, like, I, when I started out, did not describe myself with a hyphen for a long, long time. And when I used hyphens, it was always sort of, like, tentative. And, you know, the only one I ever really committed to was post-left anarchist. But even then, you know, I never liked it. I don't like the terminology, you know, post left, and because it so frames you within the left, which you know, I always saw anti-racist action, which, you know, was how I got involved in specifically political punk rock, as not being leftist. and it sort of like was in, it was insisting that it was leftist later on in its lifetime and obviously today, but I didn't necessarily see it as leftist when it first came around because, you know, the fight against Nazis is sort of like so much an aesthetic choice than, you know, like not just aesthetic, but aesthetic political, that it seemed really silly to describe it being in the same context as the New Left, for instance, which of course is, you know, how a lot of people frame their politics today. I don't know. Does that answer your question?
Absolutely. I mean, I actually really liked what you said because I feel like what you said in the beginning was, well, it started out for me as a way that I kind of identified the people around me who shared interests with me and oriented myself within that community. It's kind of the way that you know who around you, you know, you might have something in common with. And I actually really find this answer to be fine. But then I noticed that when you were questioning, like, it was surprising to you why people didn't grapple more with the question, the way that you spoke about them grappling with it was like the efficacy of those descriptions as a political strategy, which I just thought was so interesting because, like, for me, I'm totally fine with it being this way to orient yourself and find, you know, your people. But I think the problem actually arises when, I mean, and to the extent that you think that having groups and cliques is fine, which I do, you know. But then I think the problem arises when people start to try to, or like identify those groups as political strategies and then like, you know, bicker over which one is correct, which I find to be so strange because what strategy is correct completely, like in whatever correct means, but what strategy is effective completely depends on your context, right? It completely depends on what's going on around you, what resources you have available to you, who's around you and all of that stuff. So like, maybe that's the tension in why people struggle with this question is like the difference between it being a social thing versus a political thing, sure. Which to me is what I really care about. Like just being somebody who's really oriented toward thinking about what's effective, what can we do, what should we do next? You know, how should we decide whether or not that's a good plan? And like the identity stuff just like really doesn't matter so much to me, like so much so that it's not important for me, you know, to identify as an anarchist, even though I wouldn't say that I'm not. But like, whereas I see other people like it being really important for them to identify, and that doesn't bother me. But like, I've always wondered why that's the case. Yeah.
Well, I mean, first of all, I think it is important to talk about the way in which counterculture or subculture has really changed. And, you know, mm-hmm. I sort of talk about this all the time and I sort of point to the internet, but what are the aspects of the internet that have transformed it? And that's the mm-hmm. fact that counterculture, just like culture in general, requires more sinew than the internet mostly gives. And, mm-hmm. and obviously, you know, I recognize that it's arguable, you know, the point that I'm making and that, you know, for some people, the internet gives all that they need and they're done. But I'm not sure that that's as universal, you know, and
right.
And so, so I think part of what I'm getting at is like, okay, I'm an artifact from the past. Was that past better? Was it worse? In what ways was it better and worse? Because I find someone like you who sort of like there's several directions where it's really reasonable to not associate necessarily with anarchists in public. You know, one of those reasons being that like if the revolution would happen tomorrow, like you would be our secret agents. That's sort of like a functionalist approach.
Right.
But the other approach sort of has to do with the fact that, like, you know, by many people's definition of anarchism, neither am I. And so I've decided to stick to the term as a fighting term for reasons that sort of like I haven't brought up yet and that are sort of open-ended. And so the idea that you haven't encumbered yourself, you know, with from a search engine perspective, as openly as I have, you know, means that you don't have like last week, someone on Facebook made a meme that included my dead name.
Right.
And And what's relevant about that is that my dead name still has power over me because it's how I would be surgeonable from a you know, government agency perspective. And that's mm-hmm. really bad for me, you know, because mostly I've done a really good job of staying off of three-letter alphabet agencies' radar by being associated with a fantasy figure rather than my dead name. And you know, ruining that sort of jeopardizes me and makes me, you know, reconsider like how is it that I would change this up? Like, or is it too late for me? Anyways, I'm bringing up a whole bunch of side issues, but I'm
not- go ahead. Not to interrupt. What you got me thinking actually about, I wonder what you think about this, is because you mentioned like in person kind of having more sinew than online. And I was kind of thinking about how, I like the hyphens, but I almost feel bad saying this. It's almost in a like it reminds me of Pokemon. I like that. It's fun. I think it's fun is exactly what I want to say. I think it's fun. But the sinew comment made me realize also that, like, you know what happens when you get your anarchism on the internet is because your resources are kind of not limited, it's very easy to just be like, oh, I'm a mutualist because this idea and this idea and this idea is correct. Whereas I feel like when you have to interact with people in real life, you really come face to face with the fact, especially without the internet, right? Outside of the context of the internet, you come face to face with the fact that, like, your resources are really limited and people aren't perfect. And sometimes you just have to work with what you've got. Sure. And you have to abandon these ideas of, like, idea purity.
Yes.
And I think that maybe what's going on with these factions and, like, the commodification of these different clubs is kind of that, where it's like, oh, yeah, that's all fine to, like, make these neat dissections when you're only talking about ideas that you're talking about with other people online. But when you're trying to, like, organize something with real-life resources in real life, you have to work with what you've got, and yep. Anarchism is already so fragmented that it's like, why divide it up even more?
Yeah, I mean, these, of course, are hard questions that I'm in the middle of answering all the time because of being no platformed in the last couple of years, and that means that the main people who want to work with me or collaborate with me are people who sort of don't believe no platforming logic and don't associate with it, but. You know, again, the internet shows you that, like, there's an awful lot more people who sort of seem on board with that kind of logic because it's an easy sieve to filter people through. And yeah, the result is sort of clear.
But then it also makes me, like, if I were to advocate for a strategy for picking which, you know, set of principles and which set of ideas were good ideas, I care much more about what actually happens when you put them into practice than I care about things like
Right. Whether
or not my favorite color group shares them. But again, it's not that I don't care about that, and it's not that I don't care about being able to find people who share your priorities. I think that's awesome, but I just happen to care more about, like, what's effective, and I think the answer to that question is, like, what actually happens when you try it out, and I feel like when you use that as a criterion and when you actually have to put in the work of actually making that happen, you don't really have a lot of time to bicker with other people about whose principles are more correct. So maybe that helps.
That's a really nice thing that you've said. It's absolutely not true in practice. In practice, a person's value system and whether or not they're actually good at it or effective or any of the rest are almost like randomly connected. They have no association. Like, in other words, being a mutualist, for instance, and being useful, effective, good in a group, doing what you say, not flake, you know, all those things are basically like randomly connected. And it would be nice if that were not the case. You know, it would be nice if the most effective people I've ever worked with were not, you know, anarcho nihilo post-left freaks. Because sometimes I don't want to talk about those topics, but it's they're sort of like I've in the topic of the week, I did not use the decider effectiveness, because effectiveness is basically, it's a strange topic that it's very American. It's very much wrapped into cultural values, and it's wrapped into who you like to date. And right. It's sort of like a topic for another time.
Right. But yeah, I think it's safe to say that identity is really important to a lot of people. And also, I think this is consistent with what you were just saying, which is that doesn't always connect with what is actually effective when it comes about achieving our goals.
Indeed. We're at about 15 minutes now. Do you have any final things you'd like to say?
I'm not sure, actually. I feel like we covered the gamut of what I wanted to say, which is when somebody is telling me that they think that this or that philosophy or ideology or author is the person who has the best ideas, I just am always wondering why I should believe that's true. And the answer I'm always looking for is evidence of like what happens when you actually put that into practice. And to me, that's just much more important than who or what other ideas they share and hold in common. And so but also, like you said, sometimes that even isn't even enough when I try to accomplish my goals in the real world.
Yeah, it's funny. Sometimes I feel like when we talk that you know, because you're a little newer to some of these ideas, that it's like we're doing a taxonomy in the American anarchist and how they come to be. But thank you very much for this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks.
This podcast is the effort of many people. This week, the podcast was sound edited by Dim. What's New was written by Jackie and read by Chisel and Dim. The editorial was written by Chisel. We thank Aragorn and Not Null for their help with the topic of the week. Contact us at podcast@anarchistnews.org. To learn more, anarchist and anti-political books, pamphlets, and other material are available at littleblackheart.com. For news by and or about anarchists and up-to-the-minute commentary, see you at anarchistnews.org and or the Anarchist News IRC chat room linked on Enid.